declare today an acceleration of the dreams, an acceleration of the visions, an acceleration, Lord God, of the things you have for us in our lives, our ministries, our families, this church, Lord, and your bride, your remnant throughout the earth. Lord, you're calling us into something that's much greater than we are. And Lord, help us, Lord, we pray, to grant a mighty grace on us, Lord, a spirit of faith.
Thank you, Lord.
Unlike anything we've ever known.
Thank you, Lord.
Of anything we've ever known. Hole makata ta 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 ta. Hole makata ta 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 ta. Dream is not stillborn. It's not aborted.
Thank you, Lord.
Amen?
Thank you, Lord.
And we call life into it. We call life into visions. We call life into dreams. We call life into words.
Jesus.
Prophetic words. Come on.
Thank you.
Some of you need to say it over your own heart and life. Say life.
Life.
Life come.
Life come.
So. Jesus, we're ready. Come on. Jesus, we're ready. Stir it up, Lord. Jesus, we're ready. Take us to the new place, oh God. Jesus, we're ready.
Jesus, we're ready.
What I keep sensing is there is more revelation, there is more understanding, but it doesn't come until you step into what you've seen. This is an admonition to all of us. Until you move into something new and something else, you can't expect more revelation. The Lord says you can't get a new word when you're not doing the word I gave you.
Amen.
Come on now.
Yes.
You can't expect something new and grandiose when we haven't been faithful in the little things.
Yes.
And I hear the Lord saying, begin to tidy up the little things. And I tell you guys, the Holy Spirit is really upon us for this morning. And I say this to some of you, even if you're watching this online, I tell you, it's time. It's time for change. It's time for us to move. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You might say, well, I don't know what it looks like. Well, step out. Step out. Jesus, we're ready. Sing it. Jesus, we're ready. Jesus, we're ready.
Jesus, we're ready.
Hear my Lord.
Jesus, we're ready.
Hear my Lord.
Jesus, we're ready.
Hear my Lord. Jesus, we're ready.
Jesus, we're ready.
And I hear the Lord saying, even in relating to what we do when we gather to pray, when we gather to worship, when we gather on Sundays and other times in between, I hear the Lord saying, your paradigm has to shift. Our paradigm has to shift. Please don't come and just be a consumer. Be a minister. Hallelujah. Be prepared to minister. Be prepared. Because if you can't do it in here, you'll never do it out there. Hallelujah. I know I'm using a lot of prophetic action, but place your hands over your natural eyes. Lord, we ask our eyes be open. To see harvest. To see ripe fields. Even when we see an opportunity, Lord, we wouldn't think, well, I don't have that gift. God's never used. God's getting ready to use some of you in ways like you've never been known. He's going to use you to bring healing. He's going to use you to bring deliverance to people's lives. Open eyes. Open, open, open to see. We cause the blindness that accompanies barrenness to be broken off in the name of Jesus. The blindness that causes barrenness be broken off.
Broken off.
In the name of Jesus. Say it with me. My God is my Father. And He is fruitful. He is fruitful. In me and through me. Hallelujah. Glory. Jesus, I'm ready. Yes, I'm ready. Jesus, I'm ready. It was what you were created for. You were born again for this. You were born again for this. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Anybody else have anything before we? You got something?
Yeah. I just wanted to verify what the Word is saying to us. And that is, you see, on the door, there's a door. But there's no knob on the outside. Yeah. You know, you've seen that picture. There's only a knob on the inside.
On your side.
Yes, yeah. That's right, our side. So Jesus is at the door, and He's knocking. So all we have to do, don't worry about what's going to happen when you open the door. Don't be afraid. It's going to be awesome. So don't let the devil tell you, oh, you ain't ready, or this or that or the other thing. Just turn the knob.
Yes.
And answer the call. Because the Lord is going to, the wind of the Holy Spirit is bringing the greatest revival we have ever seen. And if you want to be part of that, you got to open that door wide. Yes. You got to be sold out and do whatever He says without bargaining. Okay? If He tells you something, you don't have a time to, you know, bargain with Him. So yeah. You just be sold out, and all you say is, what do you say? Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Yes, 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 yes. Lord.
Amen. Obedience. Amen. Obedience. Hallelujah. That's good.
You know, I'm just thank you, Lord. In my spirit that somebody feels like they're not qualified. And Irene alluded to it in her word. And then I remembered as she was giving that word, and this is not a long one. You're worried about being qualified, but God qualifies the call.
Yes. Yeah.
So if you're called, you're qualified. He makes you.
Yep.
That may not mean you've got 14 degrees. That's irrelevant. God calls you, you're qualified.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. Availability. Amen.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Susan was going to, I think, she wants to, I may even have a picture or two, because we want to announce, obviously, to all of our other friends and Freedom Gate family where we're going to be next week. I don't know if she was still planning to do that or not. Is she alone with the kids? There she is. Come on up, baby. Huh? I've said nothing.
Oh, here's the sermon notes. You want me to give you the readers?
If you can preach that, I'm going to sit right here.
You want the readers condensed version?
Yeah.
Reader's Digest condensed version.
You can probably do it in 10 minutes.
You people are too young. Most of you don't even know what that is.
Yeah. Reader's Digest.
What is that? Yeah. Several months ago in prayer, if you guys have been here, Pastor Rick said that we were believing for an enlarged place. A big place, like 10,000 square feet, where we can have ministry to people to you know, hand out food and clothing, maybe have a thrift store, have a big training room, worship center in the middle, and we have a 501c3 that's separate from the church, and those kind of organizations can get grants. Not federal grants, but grants from foundations. So we have been believing God somehow, some way. Becky said every time she drives by an empty big box store, she thinks, "What did we, you know, how would we fit in there?"
That would be our abundant place.
That would be our abundant place. That's our goal, okay? But the Lord told Rick we would have to take some interim steps to get there. But where we are right now, this place is rented by the mission base. It's to code for the mission base. But for if we have any more people than we have right now, it wouldn't be to code for a church. So we've been kind of not advertising, just this was supposed to be a transitional place for us, remember? Close the old industrial building down, come here, pay off our debt, which we had glory, no debt.
Woo!
Okay. So we are debt free, and it's time to make a move.
Amen.
All right. So we've been given, we've been
That's
blessed.
Right, amen. When she says something like that.
Yeah. We've been, they're kind of afraid what I'm going to say. We've been, we have access to a very beautiful place that
has. Enlarged place.
An enlarged place with very high, beautiful vaulted ceilings and lots of space. It has a commercial kitchen. It has an indoor pool where we can do baptisms.
Woo-hoo!
It has a billiard room where the children can have their classes. It has a huge stage, and it's just beautiful. It's in an active 55-plus active community, so when you come in, you go down this beautiful drive, and it's deadhead straight in front of you, and it's got like the vaulted ceiling on it, so you can't miss it. It's at Broadway and Lindsay, and this is an area that God's just opened up for us. We, at this point, we need to get caught up on everything that we need to have financially. We need to get in a position to where we are beginning to build a building fund and a war chest for the next step.
Amen.
So this would be another interim place. They're willing to, most of these places usually only let you have them for 30 days at a time because they have activities and stuff going on. But with what all has been going on with COVID, it's actually, we get it 90 days at a time, which is what we had when we were at the museum when we first started. So you might have to drive a little bit further. As we've talked to some of our leaders.
Not Marvin and Irene, but, you know.
Yeah. One thing that just really blessed my heart, when we were trying to decide, do we need to poll everybody or what do we need to do? And Virgil said to me, he said, you know, we don't even look at Freedom Gate as like our local church anymore. It's our family. And we'll drive where we got to drive to be together with our family. Right? So what this place will enable us to do, it's wider. We'll have lots more room, lots of breathing room. I hope it'll make people more comfortable to be there instead of being in a tight space. Ladies, the ladies' restroom has three beautiful stalls.
Just for ladies.
Just for ladies. Nice men's restrooms.
Sure.
Also, so there's a lot of things about it. When you come in, there's walking trails and things that are just pretty. You know, it's just lovely when you come in. We will have to set up and tear down. That's our negative. But I believe that because the tables and chairs are already provided, the guys on the worship team will have the biggest challenge probably getting that set up. We'll have to set up a children's area, move tables, and put up chairs. That's going to be our job. And when we leave, we'll have to make sure the windows are Windexed and the bathrooms are clean and that the floors. We want them to be so happy that we're there.
Amen.
Okay?
Amen.
All right? So
leave it better than we found it.
Amen. Are you still with me so far? Raise your
Amen.
Hand.
Amen.
Okay. All right. Now, the next big step is what are we going to do with all this stuff? So some families in the church have already started stepping forward. The Butlers and Jenkins are going to take all the hospitality equipment, and you guys know that's a lot. The Burgesses are taking the musical equipment and things that we won't need over there. Okay. We have the children's ministry stuff will be coming to our place. Marvin and Irene are going to have all the signage, and they're going to have the communion service equipment at their place. And so we have other, Brittany's going to take the coffee cart and store it. She said she's got a space she can store it. So look around, and if there's something in here hanging on the wall or a piece of furniture, if we're out of this place in 3 to 6 months, we don't have to buy it all over again, do we? No. You know, we want to be able to keep what we can. We've got lots of books and bouquets. There's just lots of things.
Our chairs we're gonna store.
Marina has already, Bill's wife has already done a bunch of research. Kathy Barkley also has done some research, and I have a great list of mini storage places that Savannah and Angel are gonna go do a drive by and check out for us. So the first thing we want to do is get our chairs out of here before the sheetrock dust starts flying and all that stuff, okay? So our tables and chairs, we would like to not have to store anything else except the tables and chairs, okay? And half of our chairs are being used by another church, which kind of is free storage for us, you know, and they know they got to give them back at some point. So
where we were before in the healing rooms.
Yeah.
We just left our chairs over there and brought more here. So, you know, there's going to be, Virgil and Jen are going to have all of the media equipment and be bringing it in on Sundays. So what we're going to have is we're going to have a punch list every Sunday, and every Sunday we're going to have a service manager, and the service manager is going to make sure that someone Windexes the windows. But, you know, everything that's got to be done is going to be in detail. One thing I forgot to say, as far as storage is concerned, we are doing a database that says what is it and where is it. So when we need something, we know, okay, that's at the Earls, or that's at the Weavers, or that's at the Burgesses, okay? So we're going to do this right. But I want to tell you something. Kathy Barkley contacted John McCatton. How many of you guys know John? I know some of you know. He's been in ministry. He was in ministry here for many, many years, his whole family. But he really was the brain behind the nonprofit for our city, Chandler. And he did help get some other ones started, too. It's probably one of the most prolific nonprofits I've ever seen. They are so connected with the city government, with the churches. They do a great work. And they did that with financial resources from a lot of different places. And Kathy contacted John to see if there was any way they could help us start applying for grants for a facility. And he texted her last night, and she sent me the message, and he said, I've already got a couple great ideas for you guys. Already? I'll talk with you next week.
Awesome.
So can you be praying into that too?
Yeah.
Okay?
Yep.
So what did I forget? Anything? When you go home today, if you can take something home and store it at your place, then yeah, that's great. The other thing that we need to do, we're going to have some things that we aren't going to need anymore. In fact, there's even some things the kids set out on the, they said, what do we do with this, Pastor Susan? We don't, so it's they're sitting out there on that front table. They are all so excited. I have pictures of the place on the computer. This complex of 2 or 3 years ago did a $1.3 million renovation on this community center. And so it's like I said, when you walk in, it's airy, the vaulted ceilings, it's really going to be nice.
You will not feel cramped.
You will not feel crowded or cramped at all.
So come back, everybody.
So the people who are watching online today will get to see the pictures first. You guys will have to look later. Don't be cheating, getting on your phone while Rick's preaching. But we'll post some pictures of the facility so that you can see it. But would you guys, let's just stand and agree together.
Yes, yes.
Let's just make our stand before the Lord.
Thank you, Lord.
You know, I was thinking about being here and us not really being able to advertise and expand and stuff with when COVID started and all this stuff. And it reminded me of the lepers who said, we can sit up here till we die,
yeah,
or we can go into the enemy's camp.
Yeah.
And sometimes God wants us to make a move. And that's,
yes,
how we felt when we left that other building, right, Derek? We knew we had to make a move, and that's where we are now. We've been agitated for 6 months. It's not that we hate this place. It's just we can't do what God's called us to do here. So we are making a move.
Amen.
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 And I believe we may pick up some new people when we in the new place. It'll go with us to the next place.
Amen.
All right. But Heavenly Father, we just thank you today, Lord, that
thank you, Lord,
we make our plans, but you order our steps. And we trust you, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
We trust you with the plans and purposes for this ministry. God, we know that you have an abundant place for us.
Yes.
And we are on that journey to get to that place, Lord, where all the we can fulfill all of the dreams and the visions that you've given this people. Lord, I thank you that just like Virgil said, we are family and we stick together and we move together. And I know, Lord, that you're going to bless our unity and that you're going to put on our hearts, Lord, to rise up and build and to rise up and to serve and get the things that need to be done, and that we will enjoy it with just as much as we do enjoy hanging out together and being together, Lord, that we'll serve alongside each other. So, Father, we thank you for this place. We bless this place.
That's right. That's right.
We bless the landlord who's sown over $2,000 into this ministry. We thank you, Lord, for all that she has done, giving us free space for 10 months for our children during the height of the COVID pandemic, Lord. They've been so good to us, Lord. And we want to leave this place better than it's ever
Amen.
Been before.
Amen. Amen.
So help us, Lord, to serve in the evenings and on the weekends, whatever we got to do to get it ready, even as we step into our new place.
Thank you, Lord.
We thank you today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen.
Everybody said amen.
Amen.
Thank you, baby. Hallelujah. Y'all can sit down. Hallelujah. Yeah, what I had heard was that I kept hearing the Lord say, you know, I said, Lord, we need an enlarged place. But I said, we also need, you know, the abundant place. You know, we don't want to just be a little bigger. We want to go to the next place. So I'm excited.
Yeah.
Yes. I'm excited, and especially it seems like the transition to the abundant place may be quicker than even, you know, I could have imagined. So praise God for that. Hallelujah. I want to talk to you today about a spirit of faith. And we've been talking the last 3 or 4 weeks about the river and releasing the river of God's Holy Spirit and His presence to touch people's lives and our own lives and touch others. But I want to talk to you about the spirit of faith today. Now, I'm going to hit a couple of things. I'm not going to give you every verse that I'm going to quote from today, but the verse that's been on my heart prophetically from Zephaniah says, I will search Jerusalem with lamps and I will punish those who have become stagnant in spirit. Now, someone who's stagnant in spirit, they say in their heart, the Lord will not do good or evil. In other words, you know, you're not really believing for anything, right? You know, we as a church can get stuck in that rut, right? And we got to believe for something. So I feel like it's a great message for transitioning, even not just geographically, but transitioning in our hearts. Here's the thing, when you become settled in complacency, you just don't have any expectation in your heart of anything. And that makes worship boring, prayer boring, serving God boring, because you're not expecting anything, right? And we all can fall into that trap. I mean, it's a human nature thing. And a lot of people ask me, well, how does it happen? Well, I think it happens sometimes because of hopelessness, right? It can happen because we become spiritually slothful, uncaring, distracted, in fear, I probably touched on it for all of us. At some point, some of those things have called. How about being overwhelmed? Yeah. Sometimes just being overwhelmed, you don't know how to believe for something. And those things happen. I'm not here to glorify complacency or being stagnant, but we need to identify it so we can change and receive a spirit of faith in what God has us to do. So we're saved by grace through faith. Everybody say faith. Amen. I mean, you know, the grace of God is the gift of God, but you got to receive it by faith. We all agree. You got to receive it by faith. We also know that the promised Holy Spirit, who we've been talking about these last few weeks, He is received by faith.
Amen.
Amen. And to walk by the Spirit, you have to walk by faith. Amen. Everything is by faith. In fact, Romans says, well, actually, you and I, through our faith in Jesus Christ, have become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And the Bible says the righteous shall live by faith. So not only do you walk by faith and believe by faith and all that, you live by faith.
Yes.
And that's what God's called us, is to truly be the righteous ones who live a lifestyle of believing God.
Yes.
Amen?
Yes.
Years ago, we had been paying rent at the museum in Tempe, and then we got our facility, our last facility that we were in, that we had leased for over 6 years. And I remember I called our prophetic overseer, Bob Anderson, and I remember him telling me this. I said, yeah, because we've really been walking on water up to this point. You know, just to get approval for a commercial lease and all of that and expense and all. And I remember, he just said to me, respectfully, Rick, he said, you're in the ministry, you're always going to be walking on water.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't just get somewhere and then just relax.
Right.
It's the worst thing you can do. We've all done it. But it's the worst thing you can do is kind of feel like, well, I've reached that place. That's how we plateau.
Yeah.
Amen. And here's the thing. Would you agree This is kind of troublesome, perplexing, a lot of uncertainty about the day we live in. Things are kind of weird. We don't maybe have the security of life in America like we used to all know it. But I just want to say to you today, Jesus said, do not fear. Because he's overcome this world. Amen? Hallelujah. But he also said this, those who endure to the end shall be saved. So we need to be a people that get in faith and stay in faith, and we finish our course. Amen? We make it to the end. Hallelujah. By faith we overcome. Now, let's begin with 1 John 5 and verse number 3. 1 John 5, 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world. Say it with me. Our faith. Is it up there? Let's do it again. This is the victory that has overcome the world. What is it? Our faith. Who is the one who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Anybody believers in here? Hallelujah. So you have the faith to overcome the world. And if we have, think about this. If you have the faith to believe and receive Jesus, you have the faith to walk in love. You have the faith to walk in obedience. Amen? And you certainly have the faith to overcome the world. And so we shouldn't be a people who have been overcome. We ought to be overcomers. Amen? We're more than conquerors. We're overcomers in Christ Jesus our Lord. Romans 12 says this, you're not to think more highly of yourself than you ought to think, but we're to think with sound judgment. Get this, as God has allotted to each of us a measure of faith. Yep. Have you heard that verse before? It's Romans 12, 3. A measure of faith. Everybody has a measure of faith. You can't get saved if you didn't have a measure of faith. Even initially, you know, I said, well, I was a heathen. Well, as a heathen, you had to have faith to receive Jesus, right? He gives you a measure of faith. The key is, what do we do with that measure? Amen. What do we do with the measure of faith that we've been given? Now, most of us know clearly, I think the most one verse, if you could pick one, that defines faith is Hebrews 11, 1. Now faith is what? The substance, right, of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. That's the key. They're not seen in the natural, right? Now, let's break that down for a minute. Faith, a word for substance also would be like assurance. Faith is a substance. It's an assurance. The best example I've ever heard, and the Amplified brought it out, was that it's like a title deed. Now, how many of you know, if I signed the title deed to my truck over to you, but kept it in my garage and didn't give it to you, is it yours?
No. Not yet.
No? I'm sorry. Wrong answer. If you have the title deed, it's yours.
Can I go get it?
You with me? You with me? Y'all see where I'm going?
Yes.
The title deed, legally, it's yours. In covenant, there's a lot of things that are ours. But we haven't possessed it yet. Are you with me? Yeah, no offense. You know, I guess a trick question maybe. But no, if you got the title deed, it really doesn't matter if it's not in your driveway because it's still yours. Amen. Legally, it's yours. And what it's saying is, I have it. And this is where a lot of people struggle with faith because they say, well, you're just claiming something you don't have. Well, I'm sorry. That's how faith works.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
I don't need faith for something I've got.
That's right.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I want to drive it. Amen. If you don't give it to me, I've got a title deed. I might have to bust your garage door down and get it, right?
Yeah.
Are y'all with me? Come on. Maybe we need to have more of that kind of conviction. How about it? In the name of Jesus. But anyway, here's the thing. It doesn't change the fact that truth always trumps facts.
Yeah.
Now, the facts might say, I don't have it, but truth says I have it.
That's right.
Are y'all with me?
Yes.
You get it now? Okay.
Yeah.
Faith is also the evidence of what you don't see. This is important. Another word for evidence is a conviction of something you cannot see in the natural. I believe this. I believe when you're really in faith, I have been seeing our enlarged and our abundant place long before I knew where it was going to be. But I saw it. How many of you know? I saw it. I didn't see it in the natural till just the other day.
Yeah.
Right? But I saw it before that. And that's true in a lot of things. You've got to understand, there's the eyes of faith where we see something God has before us, right?
Yeah.
The things what you are hoping for.
Yeah.
And you only see them with the eyes of faith in the Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
I love this in the Amplified. I think it's probably the best I've ever read. Faith comprehends as fact what cannot yet be experienced by the physical senses.
Wow.
Isn't that good?
Yeah.
Faith is comprehending it as fact, even though I can't yet comprehend it with my physical senses. Hallelujah. That's why faith is of the heart. Amen. And we need to apply our measure. Here's what I want to challenge you with. What are we hoping for and are willing to believe for? Now, we were in a unique situation, but a lot of churches have been going through a weird time of transition with all the COVID lockdowns and the distancing and people not, and even after those restraints were loosened, people not coming back, and all, it wasn't just us, and it wasn't just our little spot and all of this. I talked to many, many men and women of God throughout the body of Christ that I know in various different regions of the country. There's been this issue of dealing with a stagnancy of spirit. And what happens is we just quit hoping and willing to believe for. But when the Spirit spoke that to me, He said, "What are you hoping for?" That's one thing. But then He said, the Spirit spoke to me. He said, "What are you willing to believe for?"
That's right.
God needs us to believe.
Yes, He does.
Amen?
Yes, he does.
He needs somebody on the earth to believe for something that's given out of heaven.
That's right. He needs
Amen?
Yeah. That's right.
Even Jesus had to come and pray that way.
Yeah. Yeah.
That the will of the Father would be done on earth. And we're told to pray that way. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
This is Bible, so everybody relax. But here's the thing. We must not allow ourselves to become sluggish or complacent when it comes to exercising our faith. Now go with me to Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6 and verse number 12. "So that you will not be sluggish, but imitators," say imitators, "of those who" what? "Through faith and patience." Another word there for patience would just be endurance. Faith and endurance, what do? They inherit the promises. Amen? How many of you wish you could just believe and whammo, there it is. Right? But there is the endurance. There's the patience required in order to actually inherit what you're believing for. Everybody with me?
Yeah.
It's important. Think about this. He's given us His precious and His magnificent promises, not so we could just quote them and sing them. But He wants us to inherit them. Amen? He wants them to be a reality in our lives, in our families, in our physical bodies, in whatever we're believing for. In our church? Scripture calls Abraham the father of our faith. He's the prime example of faith and endurance. Would you agree?
Yes. Yeah.
Come on, guys. Yeah. Isaac showed up at about the time he was almost 100 years old.
Yeah.
We're talking a guy that knew how to endure. Amen? But we have to do the same, and that's why we're called to imitate Him. It's not meaning that everything has to wait that long, but it does mean we have to understand it, because you'll notice this about all of our patriarchs and matriarchs of our faith that are celebrated. They had to understand this principle. And look at the next verse, verse 13. Why is it important about this whole thing about Abraham? "When God made the promise to Abraham, since he could swear by no one greater, he swore by himself." I love that. "Saying, I will surely bless you and I will surely multiply you. And so having patiently waited," he what? Obtained the promise. Amen? Amen? We're to believe God and activate our measure of faith. Again, our faith needs to be exercised. It needs to be developed. And I like these words, receive it, inherit it, or obtain it. I like all three of them. And they're all used differently regarding promises. But I don't know about you, but I don't want to just be someone who can quote a bunch of promises but never get one of them. Amen. I mean, I want to start cashing in here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
The size of our faith really isn't the issue. It's not about the size. Now, stay with me a minute, because people get nervous about this. But Jesus said, if you have the faith of a mustard seed, you could speak to a mountain and it would get up and move. Now, He didn't do that so we would go out here and start moving and changing the landscape. That's not what the point was. The point was, if something that's immovable, you can move it with faith, right? Or seemingly unmovable. What's important is not the size of your faith. Get this now. It's what do you believe about the size and power of your God? Amen? Because it's still going to take something monumental to move it. But it's not going to be you and your big faith, big boy. It's going to be God showing His greatness, and He gets all the glory. Because nothing is impossible
with God.
What? Two words? With God.
Yeah, with God.
Amen?
He's with us.
With God. Yeah. Nothing is impossible.
That's right.
Amen? You believe that?
Yes.
And so what am I doing in faith? What are you doing in faith? We're simply calling upon the greatness and power of God to intervene. Amen?
Amen.
To heal, to deliver, to provide, to open up a bit, whatever. Whatever you're believing for. You still there?
Yeah.
Okay, very important. Give me a little faith tune-up this morning. Again, the size of faith isn't the issue. Let me explain. I know Jesus said to his disciples in the boat, he said, you know, O ye of little faith. He used the word little. Everybody brings that up to me. But it does not mean size. It means linear. It means faith that finishes. Because you could start out strong and get in the boat, but if you lose your faith in the storm, you'll never get to the other side.
Right.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
And little faith is faith that runs out before you get it.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen? It's faith that quits. That's little faith.
Yeah.
Does that help you a little bit?
Yeah.
Because, I mean, when you're doing something for God, it's going to require big faith in the sense you got to believe in the bigness of God. And I'll tell you, when I didn't understand this, I would always get confused about mustard seed and this. I'd think, well, what does that mean? And then I'd see other people that have no theological background whatsoever, no knowledge of God at all, and they believe God for powerful things. Like the centurion that said, oh, you don't even have to go to heal my servant, just send the word.
Yeah.
And Jesus turns around, he said, I haven't seen this great of faith in all of Israel.
He had it, yeah.
He said, he understood it.
Yeah.
He wasn't believing in his ability to believe. He was believing in God that he believed in. Hallelujah. Y'all with me?
Yes,
y'all know what happens when a muscle's not used. It atrophies,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It literally starts to die.
Yeah.
Muscles will shrivel up and die. And they've proven, even in very elderly people, if they can get them to exercise, muscles will come back.
Yes.
That's the way faith is.
That's right.
Faith atrophies if you're never using your measure.
Right.
If your measure never gets used, guess what? Your measure never grows.
That's right.
It never gets strong. When I talk about growth now, I'm talking about strength and endurance. Say that with me. Strength and endurance. That's the kind of faith when we're talking about growing. We want our faith to be stronger, and we want to have endurance so that we can power through and get the answer. Amen? And lay hold of what we're inheriting. Hallelujah. Now, so we does that help? I think we need to understand that. But I don't know. I just want to have a faith that gets to the finish line. I don't want to have a faith that runs out all the time. I've done enough of that. Are y'all with me? I sat on the side of the road crying with the other guy that didn't finish either.
Yeah.
Oh, I was on the faith highway with you, man. I just say, well, what are we going to do now, you know? We're either going to get back on the faith highway or just go have a beer. I don't know. We got to do something, right? All right. Here's the real issue. The real issue is dealing with doubt, amen, and fear. Doubt and fear, and they usually are buddies. They run together. Have you noticed that? Doubt and fear, they're bosom buddies, right? There's many dreams and many visions that have been dashed. But here's the thing, by unchecked and undealt with doubt. Because a lot of people think because they have a doubt that they're just doomed to have doubt. And that's where we can miss it.
Yes.
And I had to learn this the hard way because I used to think, well, I don't know why I'm doubting so much. And the Lord spoke to me one time. He said, I don't know why you're dealing with it. Why you're not dealing with doubt. Why you're not dealing with the fear, right? Why would he say fear not except fear's going to present itself to you from time to time.
Come on,
fear's going to get in your face.
Yeah.
But what you got to do is fear not.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen.
No. And
you've got to find a way to deal with what is brought to us. We so easily just kind of sometimes, let's be honest, I say we, I'm including myself, we tend to just kind of accept what comes and just kind of scratch our heads and go, I don't understand this.
Right.
And we got to understand God's got this. Amen. I believe God's really got this. That's been a word for the past year. And I know it's Irene's word, but it's not just Irene's word. Hallelujah. God's got this. Amen, Irene. Hallelujah. We can't walk by faith. Here's the thing. While entertaining thoughts of fear and doubt, because how many know when you entertain those thoughts, what's the byproduct? Unbelief.
Come on, man.
Unbelief. Amen?
Yeah.
How many love the man that cried out for his son to be healed?
Yeah. Sure.
And Jesus said, if I'm willing, all things are possible to he who believes. And he said, Lord, I believe.
Yeah.
I do believe, but please help me with my unbelief.
Yeah, man.
And Jesus didn't go, oh, you got unbelief, forget it.
Yeah.
Nope. Did he?
No.
He healed his boy.
Yes, he did.
Amen? Does that give you some hope?
Do it for me, Jesus.
But I love the guy's rawness. I love his realness.
Amen.
Man, I do believe it. I got this little problem over here. I got this little impish unbelief, you know, gnawing at me, you know.
On,
are y'all with me?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Come on. Fear and negative thoughts come to us all.
Yeah.
Okay? I don't want to say that anymore because I don't want to glorify that. But it's part of it. There's no denying it.
Yeah, it's a fight,
but
man.
Truth. The truth that nothing is impossible with God never changes.
That's right.
Regardless of my battle.
That's right.
Amen? Regardless of my circumstances. What did Jesus say? His disciples were freaking because they came by this tree that he cursed the day before. Remember?
Yeah.
In Mark 11?
Yeah.
They came by the tree. And remember that? They go, Lord! Like Jesus didn't know.
Yeah.
Right? He goes, Lord, the tree you cursed has withered from the roots up. Obviously, it didn't happen immediately when he cursed it the day before. But the next day, the evidence of what he spoke, that tree was sitting there withered. And then Jesus says, get this, have faith in God. Everybody say that with me. Have faith in God. Amen. It's not about me. Have faith in me. Have faith in God. Are you with me? And then he says the classic words, for whoever says to this mountain, be taken up and cast into the sea. You remember what he said next? And does not doubt where?
In his heart.
But believes. Say believe.
Believe.
That what he says is going to happen, it will be granted to him. Amen? So people say, well, people that do that, they're just crazy. They're nuts. They're saying stuff. Well, that's, if you ever want it granted to you, you got to step into crazy.
Amen?
I'm serious. Somewhere along the line, you got to be a believer. Amen?
I want to believe.
Fear and doubt come to us as a thought usually, right?
Yeah.
It's a thought or it could be the intimidation of a circumstance.
Right?
Especially if it's something sudden you didn't see coming.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And you're kind of like, wow, whoa. You know, and I'm getting better. I'm not great at it, but I'm getting better about zipping it until I can pull myself together.
Right.
I ain't saying nothing.
Yeah.
Until I can pull myself together here. I may not understand what's going on right now, but I got to chill and get with God and get my heart set, because doubt comes pouring in. And what doubt and fear want to do is take root in your heart. And you don't have to let them take root in your heart. Are you with me? Jesus was teaching on provision and about how if you will seek first the kingdom and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. Remember that? He said, you don't have to worry about your provision in your life. I got you. Right? And then he said this, though. So don't be anxious or fearful. Get this. The King James, I love the way it says it. He says, take no thought, saying, what are we going to eat? What are we going to drink? What are we going to wear? Right?
Yeah.
And the Lord spoke to me, and I may have heard it probably preached by some teacher years ago. I don't remember. Probably, I'm sure I did. But the Lord just reminded me, He said, it's not yours until you start saying it.
That's right.
Because you can say one thing, I believe God's going to provide, but if all you're talking about, I don't even know how I'm going to pay the bills this month. I don't know how we're going to make it. Right?
Come on.
What are you doing? You're taking that thought. And that thought will lodge into your heart, and now there's a problem. You're trying to believe, but you also got unbelief in your heart.
Come on, mouth.
Amen? And we can talk all we want, a good faith talk. But if unbelief is sown seed in our hearts, it's going to bear a harvest in us that's going to take a toll. Are you with me?
Yes, sir.
So everybody say this with me. I will not
give voice
to doubt and fear. Amen?
Fear.
Don't give voice. Hallelujah. Because nothing is impossible with God, and all things are still possible to he who believes. Amen?
Right.
Any believers out here today?
Woo!
This is why we have what we say.
Amen.
This is why. Because the principle works for good or evil. Death and life is in the power of the tongue. So now I want us to look again at Abraham, the father of our faith. Why is he called the father of our faith? He's numero uno. He's the first one that walked in it, right? There's many others that came after Abraham. We'll look at that in a moment. But Abraham walked in it, so we call him the father of our faith. But look with me with this in mind. I love this passage, these verses in Romans 4:16. To me, they just really answer some questions. Y'all ready? Verse 16, for this reason it is by what? Faith, in order that it may be in accordance with grace. So that the promise will be what? Guaranteed to all descendants, not only to those who are of the law, but also to those who are of the faith of Abraham. Say, that's me. Come on.
That's me.
Who is what? Say it. The father of us all. As it is written, a father of many nations have I made you. In the presence of him whom he believed, even God, come on now, who gives what? Life to the dead and calls into being that which does not exist. Hello. I don't care how dead it is, you can believe for something to come alive again. Amen. I don't care. I mean, that's the way God works. In hope against hope. You ever felt like you're doing that? Amen. In hope against hope, he what? Believed. So that he might become a father of many nations, according to that which had been what? Spoken. That was the word of God to him. So shall your descendants be without becoming... Now, get this. Without becoming weak in faith... We're talking about wanting to have strong faith, right?
Yeah.
Without becoming weak in faith, He contemplated his own body, now as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and the deadness of Sarah's womb. Yet, everybody say yet.
Yet.
Now let's read these next words together. With respect for the promise of God. Say that again. With respect for the promise of God. He did not what? Waver in unbelief, but grew strong in faith, giving glory to God. Hallelujah. And being fully assured that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Therefore, come on now, it was also credited to him as righteousness. Hallelujah. God called him the father of many nations before he ever had Isaac.
That's right.
Amen? Before he ever had a child with Sarah, God called him the father of many nations. Amen? Because God calls those things that are not as though they were. Hallelujah. When he changed Abram's name, and his name was a good name, but when he changed it to Abraham, the life of God and the multiplying factor of God came into that, and literally his name meant, I'm the father of many nations. So here's the thing that was so important about that. When Abraham began to say who God said he was, are you with me?
Amen.
When he began to say what God said he was, Isaac was born within 12 months.
That's right.
After 20-something years standing on a promise. When he began to say what God says, Isaac was born. That means, for all of you rocket scientists out there, that means they conceived in just a few months. Just getting his mouth right. Are you with me? Because God had done a lot of things. Took him out of the tent, told him to look at the sky and look at the stars. Took him and showed him the sand. He gave him a lot of examples to let him imprint upon it, but he got his mouth aligned with what. When we start to say what God says about us, it changes things. And that's what I keep hearing. I heard it during worship again today. Acceleration.
That's right.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
God called him that. Now, contemplate, let's think about this. Contemplating his situation, he didn't waver in unbelief. How many of you ever wavered in unbelief? My hand's up. You know, we've all wavered in unbelief. But it was because of his respect for the Word of God. You with me? Because he had such a respect for the Word of God. And then he began to grow stronger in faith by giving glory to God.
Glory to God.
Now, the only way you can do that in faith, you're giving up what the Bible calls the sacrifice of praise. Okay. Amen. I'm praising him before it manifests. I am the healed of the Lord. Hallelujah. I am the delivered of God. Hallelujah. I'm a new creation. The old things have passed away.
Yes.
I'm beginning to declare what God says about me.
Hallelujah.
It's a sacrifice right now in some areas.
Yeah.
It's easy to... Once you get that breakthrough to say it, but can you do it when it's a sacrifice? And he grew, and I love this, it grew to the place of what the New American Standard says, full assurance of faith. I like that. I've been that way in some areas of my life before, and in other areas I wasn't at full assurance. I was believing, but man, I was still knocking away those nipping doubts and fears, and I hadn't gotten to that place. And I think full assurance of faith is when you get to the place where there's no more doubt and there's no more fear and there's certainly not any unbelief. Amen? That's full assurance. And that accelerates things into obtaining. That accelerates things into inheritance. And I believe that's what God's called us to walk in.
Amen?
Now you might say, well, that was Abraham. Okay? In case any of you said that. But we're children of Abraham. Amen? He's the example. He's the father of our faith. And we're to imitate him. And look at verse 23. You might say, well, why did you just read all of that? Well, look what it says. Now, not for his sake only was it written that it was credited to him, but for what? Our sake also, to whom it will be credited, as those who believe in him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. The problem today, and I heard, I think it was Todd White say this. I watch way too many YouTube videos of preachers. But I think it was Todd White that said this. He said, we've got a real problem with unbelieving believers.
I've heard that.
Hello? We've been in that camp. Come on. We're believers, but we're unbelievers too. And so, I don't know, but I just want to encourage you today. You may feel like there's areas, maybe not all of your faith, but there's areas where your faith is atrophied. Amen? And I just hear the Lord say, offer your measure to me. Offer your measure to me and start to exercise your faith again. Amen? And start to get it stirred up again. Let it come back to life. Amen? After all, he can call those things that are dead back to life. And that's the power of our God. We talked about the river, how we have to steward that anointing.
Yeah.
We have to steward that flow of the river. Amen?
Yes.
We got to steward faith.
Yes.
We have to steward our faith. We have to activate our faith and stay in faith and keep moving on. Go with me, if you would, over to Hebrews 10:37. Hebrews 10:37. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. But my righteous ones shall what? Live by faith. So I'm just showing you many verses that say we live by faith. And if he what? Shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. He doesn't say if you shrink back, he hates you. Okay? Or he's going to come whop you one. We've all shrunk back from time to time, right? But what is he saying? It doesn't please him. What does it say over in Hebrews 11? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. No, it didn't say it was not likely. He says it's impossible.
Yeah.
You can't please him without faith, because he who believes, you can't just believe he's God.
Hallelujah. Come on.
A lot of people believe that. But you have to believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek after him. Amen?
On,
and so that's what he's saying to us. I want to please him.
Yeah.
He's wanting us to dream big.
Yeah.
And believe big. Amen?
Hallelujah.
He's wanting us to go for it. Hallelujah. He's wanting us to take those steps.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So what is it that we exercise our faith for? Let me encourage you. I want to give you three categories, because it's very simply, first of all, it's the promises of God. Okay?
Yes.
Because you really can get wonky in your faith when you start believing for something that you can't attach a promise to it. How many of you found that out? I found that out. You know, I can start trying to believe for something. I really can't attach a promise to it. Which all the more why we should know the Word.
That's right, sir.
Because the Word in your warfare, that's what gets doubt and unbelief to run off like a couple of little yapping dogs, right?
Uh-huh.
You know, the Word of God, it is written. And so it's that respect for the Word of God. But there's three categories to His promises. Let me quickly give them to you. Number one is the promises of His written Word. The written Word of God. Amen? Come on now. Jesus said, it is written. So it's important for us to know the promises of God in the covenant that we have with God. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. What does it say?
It's important to know the promises.
Paul wrote to the Corinthians, he said, as many as are the promises of God in Christ Jesus, they are yes to you.
Come on.
Amen?
Yes.
And therefore in Him we give our amen to the glory of God through us.
God.
Hallelujah. Yes. So my amen is my oral, verbal agreement with His yes.
Come on.
I'm saying, amen, be it unto me, Lord.
Yeah.
So you got to know the Word. If you don't know the Word, you can't put your faith in it.
Right. Come on.
The second category, though, of His promises, get this, is those prophetic words that have been spoken over you.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Come on.
Think about it. We might think sometimes, well, that was just a prophecy. Be careful of that.
Come on now.
The Bible says, don't despise prophecies. Amen.
Amen.
Now, we do examine prophecy, right? We don't just, we don't swallow the bones, so to speak. We eat the meat and spit out the bones. But let me say something. Paul told Timothy, he said, this I command you, Timothy. He said, I command you, according to the prophecies that have been made over you, Timothy, by those prophecies, fight the good fight.
That's exactly right.
Amen? So, yes, you can fight the good fight according to the written scriptures, but the things that are spoken over us corporately and you individually, fight for them.
Amen.
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 Claim them and stand for them.
Yes.
That's another category. Because I'm telling you, if God anointed a man or woman of God to speak that unto you, it's a word of the Lord to you.
Come on.
Amen.
Amen. That's right.
Amen.
Thirdly, the third category is the testimony of Jesus.
Hallelujah.
It's the testimony of Jesus. What is that? It's the testimony of what He has done, what He is doing, and what He intends to do again.
Come on.
I heard a fabulous teaching from Bill Johnson years ago about the Hebrew meaning of testimony. It never meant us just to review history. Oh, back when Jesus did this or that. A lot of people know His testimony as part of history. But when you really understand even the word history, it's His story. Amen? And anything God did then, He intends to do now, because why? He's the same with us today as He was in history. And He will be forever. He's the unchanging God. Amen?
Forever faithful.
Remember when John got excited and wanted to worship the angel in the book of Revelation? He bowed down before the angel, and the angel said, don't do that. I don't think he cleared his throat, but I can imagine he Probably tapped on his. Get up. Don't worship me. He said, worship God.
He
said, I'm just a fellow servant of you and your brethren. Get this. Who hold to the testimony of Jesus. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The very essence of prophecy is what he has done. The most powerful thing we can do is share what the Lord has done. Look what the Lord has done. And that'll cause somebody else to say, I want that for my life.
Yes.
Amen?
Amen.
Let's say a couple shares about a miraculous restoration of their marriage.
Come on.
And somebody else in the church is having a hard time can take hold of that like a word from God.
Yes. Amen.
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 Or maybe somebody got healed of something like what you're struggling with.
Come on.
You say, man, if he healed her, he'll heal me.
That's right.
Are you with me?
That's right.
The testimony of Jesus. Whew.
Let's go.
Calm down. I keep slipping over. Keep slipping over into Southern Pentecostal mode every once in a while. Let me say this to you. We must know and have a respect for the promise of the written word. Do we all agree?
Yes.
Agree with it. Speak it. Stand on it. Amen?
Yes, sir.
Don't waver in unbelief. Amen?
Amen. Glory to God.
Without wavering, hold fast to your confession. You might say, why is that so important? Faith comes by hearing.
Yes.
Not by merely having heard it at one time.
That's right.
It's by hearing now. Now hearing for now faith.
Now.
Secondly, we must hold fast to those prophecies. We agree?
Yeah.
Some of you, I encourage you. Some of you wrote them down when you got them. You wrote them down. You wrote them in your journals and stuff. And if you can't remember, you didn't write them down, ask the Holy Spirit to remind you. He will.
Yeah. Come on.
He'll remind you of words that were spoken over your life.
Yeah. Come on,
amen?
Yeah.
He's reminding me of things He spoke over this church.
Yeah.
And this ministry. Thirdly, hold fast to the testimony.
Hold fast.
Because if you only hold fast to the disappointments and the frustrations and the times when it did or didn't happen like you thought, how many of you know, you'll be weary and you will be hopeless.
Yeah. Come on, man.
And you can't have faith without hope. Because faith is the substance of things
hope.
You are hoping for. Amen?
Right.
And so God wants to restore that. And the best way to get the testimony of Jesus back in your heart is start reading about Jesus again. Just go back to the Gospels. I don't care if nothing's happened in your town. Go to the Gospels. It's the testimony of Jesus. Amen. Go to the book of Acts. That's the testimony of Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. The good news. Hallelujah. What if we gave as much time or more than what we give to watching talking heads on cable? And gave that to the Word of God. We would be full of hope. We'd be full of faith. Amen. Think about this. Now, are y'all with me for a few more minutes? Are y'all okay? The new covenant is not the same as the old. Do we agree?
Yes. Yeah.
Hebrews says it's a better covenant enacted upon better promises. Okay?
Yes. Right.
So we know that. Here's something interesting I want to present to you. The spirit of faith is the same spirit that even Abraham had.
Come on now. Yes. If he did it, then so
it's the same spirit Abraham had.
Yes.
The covenant's different, right?
Yeah.
But the spirit of faith is the same. Because it's of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
Right? In fact, most translations that understand it will have a capital S when it says spirit of faith.
Yeah.
In that verse of 2 Corinthians 4:13, what does it say? Having the same, Paul says, the same spirit of faith, according to what is written, I believe, therefore I speak. We also believe, therefore we speak. It's that whole thing about what you believe, you decree and declare it, right?
Right.
And he calls it a spirit of faith. But here's the word I want to bring your attention to, same. It's the same spirit of faith.
Yep.
Amen?
Thank you, Lord.
Does that help you?
Yes.
Now, here's what I'm coming at with this. When you and I exercise our measure of faith, right? Because we've all been given a measure of faith.
Yeah.
Some people die and go to hell because they never exercise their measure of faith to receive Christ's sacrifice for their sins.
Come on now.
Right?
Yeah.
But He died for the sins of the whole world.
Amen.
Hello?
100%.
You understand the soberness of that when you really begin to understand. His spirit of faith, what happens? When you and I'm really learning more and more how to identify this, but when you and I activate our measure of faith, the spirit of faith comes on us. Are you with me?
Yeah.
It's an enhancement of what we believe. It's an energization of your faith by the Spirit of God. Are you with me?
Amen.
Everybody got that?
Yes.
A spirit of faith comes to us. It breathes life into us. It strengthens us. How many of you ever started to believe for something, and as God got on board with you with the spirit of faith, suddenly your faith, you started believing for things you couldn't believe?
Yeah.
that you would have ever even tried to believe for before. Because that's what the spirit of faith does. It also gives you a supernatural strength and endurance to get to the end of the other side of the lake, so to speak, and get through the storms and whatever. And it gets us to full assurance. Amen? And I think we should tap into that more and believe for it more. Faith is not merely taught. I'm learning more and more. We need to be taught about faith because sometimes the basic principles, we don't remember them or we don't apply them because we can't apply our measure if we don't have any understanding of the Word. But a spirit of faith, I believe, is more caught than taught. You with me? I believe it's something you catch because it's of the Spirit of God. Amen? Wow. We've been catching enough of the wrong things lately, right? People catching COVID, catching this, catching that. Let's quit catching the wrong thing. Let's catch faith. Like eagles, we need to what? Spread our wings and soar. Amen? Amen? Eagles don't flap around. Eagles soar. They catch the wind. Amen? There's nothing more beautiful than watching an eagle soar. Amen? And it's just something. God uses, by the way, God uses that prophetic imagery when He talks to us about waiting upon Him. So we'll rise up with wings like eagles, right? And and I believe that's what the Spirit, does that help you a little bit? That's what the spirit of faith is. It's that refreshing of God. It's that re-energizing of God to our faith. And it just takes us to a whole nother level. Amen?
Amen.
Let me give you an example of the same faith. Let's talk about that a moment. Think about it. Abraham was the first. We all agree. Yep. The father of our faith. He imparted his faith to Isaac.
Yep.
And to Jacob.
Yep.
Yeah. Moses imparted his faith to Joshua.
Come on.
Right? Moses' faith, Elijah's faith was imparted to Elijah. In fact, he walked in a double portion of it.
Yep.
David's faith, I love this, David's faith was imparted to his mighty men. But they were not mighty men when they gathered with him at the cave of Adullam. Amen? There were 400 of them, and here's how the Bible describes them. Get this. They were in distress and in debt and discontented. I think they were American Christians. Come on, laugh with me. Come on, don't get mad. I mean, I know a lot of people, you know, they're in distress, they're in debt, and they're discontented. Come on, I've been there.
Confronted, that's good. Thank you.
But these are the ones who joined David in the cave of Adullam, and they became known as his mighty men. David's spirit of faith came upon them. Amen? Yeah, I forgot who had this message going around the body of Christ a few years ago. I don't remember. I think it came out of Bethel maybe or whatever, but he said, if you want to be a giant killer, you need to hang around giant killers.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You need to catch their spirit. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Jesus, did He not impart His faith to the disciples?
Yes, right.
He sent them out and they were casting out demons and healing the sick.
Totally was.
Amen?
Yeah.
Before they got saved.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah,
it's the power of faith. Paul imparted his faith to Timothy and so on and so on.
Yeah.
Guys, it's all through the Word of God.
That's right.
It's the same spirit of faith.
Same spirit.
What do? Activate our measure.
Activate.
Activate our measure because, see, it won't come upon unbelief. It won't come upon doubt. It won't come upon murmuring and complaining.
It's looking for somewhere to
Amen. It won't come upon speaking just what you see. It comes upon faith. And when you activate your measure, then God will breathe. And I believe God's wanting to breathe on us as a church and as a people to get us to soar to another level. Amen. Anybody want to go with me?
Oh, yeah.
Let's go higher. Amen. And I believe that is available to you. I really do. What does it say? Above and beyond what we could ask or think.
That's right.
Amen.
I always used to kind of like, okay, obviously I can limit God, right, with pitiful asking and thinking, right?
Come on, challenge Him.
But I can raise it up, but He will take me above and beyond. Sounds like an eagle's wings to me, right?
Yeah.
And I'm telling you, God's wanting us to do this. Amen? I believe we have a spirit of faith, then we start to believe and speak those unlimited possibilities of God.
Amen.
I really do believe that. But we got to guard against doubt and unbelief. Right?
Yes.
And fear. That's a reality.
Yep.
Fear. How do you rectify fear? The love of God.
The
love of God.
Right.
It drives out fear. Amen?
Right.
When that's perfected, you'll never go wrong just worshiping God with all of your heart.
Yeah.
Amen? And fervently loving the body of Christ and then fervently loving your neighbor as you do yourself. You'll never go wrong with that. Faith pleases God.
Yes, it does.
Paul was, as y'all know, Paul was going to go stand before Caesar. And even though he was a type of a prisoner on a merchant ship to go stand before Caesar, to go to Rome, Paul also knew, they think they got like a prisoner here, but they don't.
Right.
This is my destiny because I'm going to go stand before Caesar and test. They thought I was going to go stand before Caesar to die. I was going to go stand before Caesar to testify. Amen? Amen. And so on the way, he gets in the spirit. He understands this is not a good time to set sail. Remember the story?
Yeah.
And he warns them. Guys, this is not good. Because what happened is a perfect storm was emerging. And they ignored him. Right? They didn't listen to him. And they went out anyway, and it went from bad to worse. Can you imagine? It was so bad, they're jettisoning the cargo overboard. They're throwing the cargo off, trying to just keep the ship afloat. And they don't have any food. And now they're dead in the water. They don't have any food, and they're hungry. And Paul stands up to talk, and I got news for you. They listened this time. Amen. They listened to him this time. And I love what he says to them. Last passage we'll look at. Acts 27. Everybody okay? I know we're a little longer today than usual, but I had no idea my wife was going to talk so long. No, just kidding. Love you, baby. Look what Paul says. Acts 27:21. When they had gone a long time without food, then Paul stood up in their midst and said, "Men, you ought to follow my advice and not to set sail from Crete and incur this damage and loss. Yet now I urge you, keep up your courage." What was he saying? Get your chin up.
That's right.
Amen. Amen. Cheer up. It's okay. How many of you know we need that sometimes, don't we?
Yes.
"For there will be no loss of life among you, but only of the ship. For this very night, an angel of the God to whom I belong and whose I serve stood before me saying, 'Do not be afraid, Paul. You must stand before Caesar. And behold," get this, this is so cool, "God has granted you all those who are sailing with you."
Amen.
Who did he grant them to?
Paul.
He granted them to Paul. Paul wasn't just praying for his own life. He was praying for every one of those men who probably were disrespecting him.
Yeah.
And said, "Oh, shut up, dude. We're going to set sail." You know. And now suddenly, I believe because Paul asked for them, because Paul could have floated onto the island of Malta by himself.
That's right.
Right? But because he prayed for them, that's the power of intercession.
Yeah.
Because he asked for them, God said, "I'll grant them to you."
Come on,
hallelujah. Isn't that good?
Ask for the nation.
Hallelujah. "Therefore, keep up your courage, men." I love this. "For I believe God."
I believe God.
Come on. Amen.
Amen.
You got some courage because I believe God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
"And that it will turn out exactly as I've been told."
Woo.
But we must run aground on a certain island. And run aground they did. Can't go on that story. It's fabulous. Maybe I'll share it with you next week.
Yeah.
Be of good cheer.
Amen.
I believe God. Anybody believe God with me?
Yes, sir.
Well, let's be of good cheer.
Because
we need an uptick in our spirits and all that we're doing right now. Amen? And it's just believing God. I believe that with all of my heart. I believe He's coming for a glorious church. I still believe that. I believe He's coming for a bride that's ready. I'm not willing to just mail this in and say, "Well, you know, it's all falling apart." Amen?
Amen.
I believe the gates of hell still will not prevail against the church. I believe that.
Right.
I believe He will never leave us nor forsake us.
That's right.
I guess I believe Jesus.
I guess I believe
what he said. Amen. So I want to encourage you all in your various situations, those of you at home, those of you here, in various situations in your life, and us corporately, apply your measure of faith.
Apply it.
Amen.
Yes.
Use your measure of faith. Mountains. What are mountains? Again, they are seemingly insurmountable obstacles, are they not? That's what Jesus was talking about, that were in our way. And you know what? He never told us to climb them. There's a lot of Christian songs that talk about climbing mountains. It's not in the scripture.
Right.
He didn't tell us to climb them. He didn't tell us to go around them. What did he tell us to do?
Get out of
move them.
Yeah, move them.
Move them.
Get out the way.
You got to move. You got to. Yeah, you got to move. Amen. You got to move.
Yeah.
And I heard some guy a few weeks ago that I forgot who it was. I like to try to give credit to some of these guys, but he said, he goes, "If you knew." Here's what he said. He said it's something like this. He said, "If you knew what was on the other side of that mountain, you'd move it."
Yeah. Woo! Yeah. Come on, talk about that.
Because think about it. Why would Satan put that obstacle there?
Yeah.
Unless it was something he didn't want you to see or get to.
That's exactly true.
Think about it.
That's it.
Isn't that good?
Yeah, it's great.
Since I can't remember the guy's name, I came up with that. Not just...
Glory to God.
God will turn our dreams into realities. Amen. He turns our defeats, seemingly defeats, into triumphs. And I want to be a God pleaser. Anybody with me?
Amen.
So what are we going to do? You got to count it all joy.
Yes. Yes.
Amen.
When you what encounter various trials.
Amen.
Knowing that what? The testing of your faith produces
patience.
Endurance.
Yeah.
And let it have its perfect result in you. You'll be perfect, complete, lacking in nothing.
That's right. Amen.
That's what I call fully assured.
Yeah.
And God's wanting us to get to that place. Amen?
Yeah.
And I believe we need that. As we move into our enlarged place, we need as a people, we need to up it in our faith.
Yes.
Amen? Not just say, oh, this is a prettier place than that older old place.
Amen. Turn it
up. Let's turn it up a notch. Amen?
Amen.
If I can leave this with you, you know the verse. We're not going to turn there. The most important ingredient of our faith is love.
That's it.
Because faith works
through love.
Through love. Yeah. Amen? And sometimes we forget that. In all of our wanting to believe and all of our bravado, you got to love. And what did Paul write? He said, now faith, hope, and love. Say that with me.
Faith,
hope, and love. These three. But the greatest, the foremost, the most important, not meaning faith and hope are not important. Are you getting this? But the most important ingredient is love.
Amen.
And I believe it falls into three categories. Love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. We need to, and I add this because Jesus didn't say it at the time, but we're to love one another
yes.
in the body of Christ. Amen. And we're to love our neighbor as we would ourselves.
Right.
And when you operate in that, suddenly, come on guys, voila, faith starts to work.
Yeah. Faith
arrives. It can't work without the love.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. Many healing evangelists, for example, that have had a lot of experience in getting people healed, they'll tell you, when I let the Holy Spirit move me to compassion, that I don't want to see a miracle. I want to see that dear woman get out of her wheelchair.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That love and compassion,
yeah.
that brought the miracle. Not just so I could tick that off. Oh, I got another one today.
Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
Right.
And so we have to make sure that we, and really what keeps us in check on the other areas is just loving God. Because
yes.
then the agape of God fills our heart and we're moved with compassion in different ways. Amen? Y'all receive that?
Amen.
So here's what I want to ask you right now. Here's what I want you to believe with me. How many of you will believe with me that the Lord wants to do a work in this generation?
Amen.
You believe that? Okay.
Amen.
Let's believe not only for your personal breakthroughs. I want you to believe for those. Get in the Word of God. Find your promises. But let's also believe for a great harvest.
Come on.
Amen? How about this? How about that a glorious church is going to come forth?
Yes.
How about... How about healing, signs, and wonders, and miracles?
Amen.
Amen. How about mighty deliverances?
Yeah.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
How about this? Souls being saved from every tribe, tongue, and nation.
Amen.
How about prodigals being restored?
Yes.
Some, after many, many years, are going to come home and be dynamic in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah.
Yes.
How about this? A lot of times people don't think about applying this. How about that our worship becomes very dynamic and very real and very intimate and very full of glory.
Amen.
I mean, our worship goes to another level. Amen?
More.
I mean, I'm talking about miraculous. Like Jesus said to Nathaniel, He said, you're going to see the heavens open.
Yes.
And you're going to see the angels of the Most High ascending and descending on the Son of Man. Amen?
Do it.
Hallelujah. Anybody want to see?
Yeah.
I want to see.
Hallelujah.
I want to see dreams and visions.
Yes.
I want to see the kingdom of God. I mean, can I tell you, every one of these things, you might think, well, you're just full of a lot of, you know, vibrato and passion. But every one of those things are in the Word of God.
That's right.
Yeah. They're promised to us in the Word of God.
Come on.
So I just want to radically believe God. Anybody with me?
That's humility.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
I don't want you to stand up. I just want you to rest before God. Close your eyes. Let me lead you in a couple of prayers really quickly. Would you do this, though? Put your hands out in front of you. And right now, I just want you in your words, I'm just going to pray a couple of things, but I want you just to pray. Would you just ask the Lord, if you need to repent of any complacency, would you do that right now? There, just do it right now. Just voice it between you and the Lord. Amen. And let's just commit right now. Lord, we're going to live again by faith. Amen. I pray over every one of you right now, great expectation. Those of you at home, I want you to do the same thing. Sitting right there on your couch, I want you just to pray. And I just pray for you that great expectation will fill your heart. And fill your mind. Faith. 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 In the goodness of God. God is so good. Amen. He is so unchanging. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. I also pray for you right now. I pray for you right now that for the grace to activate a measure of faith. Anybody want that?
Yes.
I want you to say to the Lord, I will activate my faith, Lord.
I will activate my faith.
My measure. Will not remain inactive.
Will not remain inactive.
Hallelujah. Just wait. Now wait on the Holy Spirit right now. Just wait on the Holy Spirit. And ask yourself, each of us, let's ask ourselves personally, what is it we're hoping for? And what is it we're willing to believe for? Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. I bless each and every one of you. Renewed hope. Renewed hope. In Jesus' name. And I break and I bind hopelessness and lethargy and lukewarmness. I break it in the name of Jesus. Hear the Lord say to some of you, you've been around a long time. Some of you have been around a lot longer than even me. But God says, I want to refresh you like a newborn in your faith. For it still is required of you to enter the kingdom like a child, with childlike faith. Thank you, Jesus. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, give us the grace to take every thought of fear and doubt, to take it captive, to no longer entertain these thoughts, and to no longer live as a slave to fear from this day forward. Now, would you just ask the Lord in your own words? I'm not going to ask you to pray after me. But would you just make a renewed commitment to the Scripture, to the Word of God? Would you ask the Lord to give you a fresh, renewed respect for His Word? Come on, ask Him. That you would be a man or woman that treasures the Word of God. The beautiful covenant. Oh, in the blood of Jesus. I bless you right now, beloved, because the anointing on you teaches you. Now let's make another commitment together to the Lord that regardless of what's going on in the natural, we will always offer the sacrifice of praise. Hallelujah. Amen? So we can grow stronger in faith by giving glory to God. Would you make that commitment? Well, let me lead you, Lord. Lord, pray that. Lord, may I be quick to hear and slow to speak. And when I do speak, may it be a praise unto your holy name. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Now I pray for some of you, all of you right now, for also a release of grace to renew your commitment to honor and respect the prophetic words of God that have been spoken over you. And to honor the testimony of Jesus in your life. And I ask for God to give you divine remembrance. Anybody want that right now?
Yeah.
A divine remembrance of the utterances that have been made to you and have been made to us. And the great testimonies of what we've seen and what we've experienced. The goodness of God.
Hallelujah.
Surely goodness and mercy will follow you all the days of your life. Shoo. Now, if you would, lift up those hands. Pray this with me. Lord Jesus, let me be aware and receive a spirit of faith that I know is always available to me as I apply my measure of faith. I receive it, Lord. Help me to soar as the wings of eagles in the realm of faith, believing to catch the wind. I just hear the Lord saying to some of you, He's even though a lot of this was coming happening prophetically in our worship before I even preached, but that the Lord is just saying, it's a new day, it's a new time, and God's getting ready to let you soar to some new places. Amen?
Yes.
To see some new things in the Spirit. And walk with God. And finally, and most importantly, pray this with me. Jesus, I yield to the river. Hallelujah. To the river of your love to love God with my all. To love the body of Christ, my brothers and sisters, and to love everyone else as I would myself. For I believe faith works through love. Help me to release your love and your power to others. Hallelujah. Lift up your face and say, I believe God.
I believe God.
I believe God. Cheer up.
I believe God.
Come on.
Cheer up, face.
Cheer up.
Depression, be gone. Oppression, be gone. Spirit of heaviness, be gone. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Somebody lift your countenance and smile. Hallelujah. Glory.
Glory to God.
Glory. Come on, stand up with me. Stand up with me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I bless you today, beloved. I thank you for your endurance with this long service. I bless you in the name of Jesus. The Lord blesses you. The Lord keeps you. The Lord makes His face shine upon yours. And the Lord is gracious unto you. And the Lord grants you shalom in the mighty name of Jesus. Peace be upon you mightily. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. And everybody said, amen and amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Anybody needs prayer for anything? I know it's getting late, but I'm here. I'll pray for you. We love you. Also, stay tuned. Stay connected with us throughout the week. Whenever you can help us with things, we'll be letting you know. We'll be letting you know what we're going to be doing with moving things and getting things moved over to the other facility and stuff like that. So stay tuned and try to help. Be available as much as you can. If we all do this together, it'll go quickly. Love you. God bless.